Dubai Eye
103.8. We're marking the day itself here on Dubai Eye 103.8 FM, and asking you to give us your thoughts on how you have dealt with diabetes in the past. Is it something that you are conscious of? Is it something that you are concerned about? And if so, what are you doing about it? Well, Diabetes Day became an official United Nations Day back in 2006 and aims to promote the importance of taking coordinated and concerted actions to confront diabetes as a serious global health threat and keep diabetes firmly in the global public and political spotlight. Globally, 425 million adults have diabetes. That's one in 11. And the number of people with diabetes is expected to rise to 522 million by 2013. Another statistic that certainly caught my eye when it came to diabetes, and we know that there is epidemic proportions of diabetes here in the region. But what about this? One in two people with diabetes around the world remain undiagnosed. That's a whopping 212 million people globally who have diabetes and don't know about it. They obviously feel the symptoms, they feel the negative results of it, but it remains undiagnosed. Over a million children and adolescents have type 1 diabetes. The prevalence of type 2 diabetes in the UAE is among the highest in the world. Latest statistics from the Ministry of Health and Prevention here show that type 2 diabetes in the UAE has dropped from 19.3% of the total population in 2013 to 11.8% of the population in 2017. Is that a positive downward trend, or is that just muddying the waters of those particular statistics, given the population growth we've seen in that time? Do you have diabetes? Simple question to you. If so, how do you manage it? Does someone in your family have diabetes? Again, if so, how do you manage it, and how has it affected them and you as a family unit? Get your thoughts in to us by texting us now on 4001. Today on Agenda, we'll be talking about the impact diabetes has on the family, the lifestyle changes we can make to prevent and live with diabetes. If diabetes is something that can be cured or managed or lived with, and of course, dispelling the myths around diabetes for you through a number of specialists, including the consultant paediatric endocrinologist at the Mediclinic City Hospital, Dr. Sarah Etisham, who joins us live on the line this morning. Good morning to you, Sarah.
Good morning, and it's nice to be with you on World Diabetes Day.
How important is World Diabetes Day in terms of us keeping that awareness going for what is something that we're experiencing on epidemic levels here in the UAE?
Oh, I think it's increasingly important. As you've already mentioned in your introduction, diabetes is a common condition, but the awareness of it remains low. I deal exclusively with children, and obviously children and their families who are living with type 1 diabetes, and every time a child is newly diagnosed, the families always tell me, we've never really heard about this condition, we don't really know much about it. We didn't really realize that that was what was happening to our child. So events such as this, which raise awareness of the symptoms and the signs of diabetes in children, and also in adults, as you say, many of them may be undiagnosed, they're incredibly important.
Let's just deal with that then, if diabetes in children, which is your speciality and your area of excellence. In terms of that, one of the excuses we hear about undiagnosing of diabetes in an adult is, oh, it'll never happen to me. Surely it couldn't be me. It must be somebody else, and being part of that statistics. In terms of children, you've got parents who are monitoring every single sniff, whimper and cough from a child. How does it go undiagnosed?
So I think the early signs of diabetes in a child may go unnoticed because they can be very, very subtle. And our bodies are incredibly good at adapting when things start going wrong. So diabetes, in essence, is a problem where the blood sugar or the blood glucose is raised. And we cope with that up to a point. But once it reaches certain levels, parents and children will start to notice the signs. And the signs are usually what we describe as the 40s. And by that, I mean that their child is more thirsty, so will be drinking more, helping themselves for more drinks, asking for more drinks. They will be going to the toilet more often. That's the second T. And so they may be running to the toilet very frequently to pass urine. And children who are dry at night may start wetting the bed again. And that may be one of the presenting features. the child will become more tired because having a high blood sugar is exhausting, and they may look thinner because as the body can't utilize glucose as fuel, it will start breaking down fat. And so those four T's, thirsty, going to the toilet, becoming more tired and thinner, are the signs that underpin the development of diabetes. But those signs can be very, very subtle initially. And I hear all the time that families take their children to the doctor thinking they've got some viral illness, and it can be misdiagnosed initially because the signs can be confused easily with other common conditions. So we always urge parents to be vigilant and to be aware of the signs.
In terms of that diagnosis and noticing those signs, as you mentioned, from parents, once you've got past that process, once people have got that diagnosis, what is the course of treatment? Does it vary depending on the case?
So children's diabetes is basically a problem where there is insulin deficiency within the body. So the body is no longer making insulin in sufficient quantities to control the blood sugar. So the mainstay of treatment for this condition is to give back insulin within the body. And families settle into a new routine of giving insulin when their child is eating or when the blood sugar is high, but also monitoring the blood sugars. And there are many ways and means that they can do this, and there is a lot of technology there to help them. Most of the children in the clinic will wear a glucose sensor, so they'll be wearing something on their skin that is constantly measuring their blood sugar and then can be used to advise them about when they need to be taking insulin. And then children will need to take insulin injections. It's unfortunately not a medicine that you can take by mouth as a tablet or a syrup. It is an injection, and they will be taking injections 4 to 6, sometimes more times a day. We come across many children who are using insulin pumps, so a wearable gadget that is continuously delivering insulin under the skin. That frees them up from having to give injections all the time. But it is an investment of time from the child and from their family, and there are a lot of things that they have to cope with. Our emphasis within our clinic is ensuring that those children and those families lead as normal a life as they can by taking enough care of the diabetes that it does not become a problem.
Is one of the reasons that we're having trouble in terms of diagnosing, or certainly cases going undiagnosed for a while, confusion around the different types of diabetes? Is this one of the areas that confuse people out there in terms of the awareness, type 1 and type 2 diabetes? And how do you explain the two to patients?
Absolutely. I think there is a lot of confusion. We have to remember that worldwide, the commonest form of diabetes is type 2 diabetes. And this is a condition that used to be described as older age diabetes or maturity onset, and now we even see it in children. Type 2 diabetes, the phenomenon is different. So I mentioned in type 1 that there is a deficiency of insulin within the body. In type 2, the body doesn't utilize insulin properly, so it's still making insulin but not using it. You still end up with the similar problems of high blood sugars. In adults with type 2 diabetes, because the symptoms are less acute, it can go undiagnosed. And as you've already mentioned, there can be a big denial associated with this because people recognize type 2 in old family members and think, well, I'm not old, so I can't have it. And it's also associated with lifestyle issues such as not doing as much exercise as they might have been previously or gaining a bit of weight. And those factors, they all contribute to, I think, people not realizing that they may have the condition. The lifestyle factors are not an implication in children as to when children develop diabetes. It just happens. In children, the diabetes is a disease of the autoimmune system, and so it can have a trigger, such as a viral illness, a cough or a cold that has come and gone, but it's left its imprint on the immune system, and the immune system is then damaging the pancreas. So in children, it doesn't tend to go undiagnosed because it presents acutely, and children will have symptoms over 2 to 4 weeks before they present to a doctor. Whereas in adults, it's a much more insidious process, and we recognize that it can take, you know, a few years sometimes for the glucose to change from being normal to borderline to abnormal. And those subtle changes tend not to be picked up unless a family practitioner or somebody is screening that adult and keeping an eye on their general health.
Sarah, it's World Diabetes Day today. I don't need to tell you that. It is a day where we try and shout from the rooftops about diabetes and raise that awareness globally. Is there a message today, as there should be throughout the year, that if in doubt, get it checked out? And if that is the case, what do people do about that? Where do they go? Do they go to their GP first and foremost, or do they go to a specialist clinic?
If it is a child and you are worried that your child may have diabetes, I usually recommend you go to an emergency department, because diabetes presenting in a child almost always needs emergency treatment and may well need admission to hospital. If you're an adult and you think that you might have some of the symptoms associated with a raised sugar, or there is a lot of diabetes within your family, then the first place to talk to somebody would be your family practitioner, so that they can arrange the appropriate investigations and screening and advice for you.
I also understand that Mediclinic facilities across the whole of the UAE are offering free health checks today in Dubai, Abu Dhabi and Al Ain. So another opportunity for listeners to get more expert advice and information if they are in doubt. Sarah, I know you've got your work cut out today, as you do every single day. So thank you so much indeed for taking time to speak to us today. I'll let you get back onto the ward. And our thanks for your time this morning. All the best for World Diabetes Day.
More than welcome. It's my pleasure.
You're listening to The Agenda.
It's all about your news and your views.
Only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Appreciate all your thoughts on this one. It is World Diabetes Day. That's why we're shining a light on all things diabetes. Let's try and raise that awareness. And to that end, I need your help, please. Please get your thoughts into us. Text them to us on 4001. How do you deal with diabetes? Is it a life sentence? Is it something that can be managed? Is it something that you can incorporate into your lifestyle? How do you differentiate between the two types of diabetes, 1 and 2, and the other elements of diabetes? What about pediatric diabetes? Is that something that you're fully aware of and cognizant of? Get your thoughts, as I said, into us. Thank you very much indeed to Sam. He's been in touch with us. Speaking of diabetes in this region, people are far more susceptible to diabetes with the kind of eating habits we have than lifestyle here. We should all assume we have diabetes and not have the invincibility attitude. I have a family history and I'm at risk. Thanks for that one, Sam. Keep your thoughts coming in. 4001 if you want to have your say. Here come some more comments that are coming through on the Twitter system. This one from Meta out there this morning, saying, I was diagnosed at 32. My docs thought I might have had it for a year or two before it really made itself known. I don't have any other organ damage, which I think would be the case if it had been undiagnosed for longer. For example, if I'd had crazy high glucose levels for my whole life without treatment. I lost about 30 pounds, but they only caught mine because I had my annual physical and raised some other family health stuff that required a blood test. Jamal's been in touch saying, I was diagnosed with diabetes at 21 years old. That was 2.5 years after being given a drug for a penicillin resistant pneumonia. The drug was used back in the 60s and 70s to produce in rats. This was compliments of the US Navy doctors back in the 60s. Thank you for that insight. Another one that's just come through. Who's this one from this morning? This one is from Yogi out there, saying, living with diabetes is the same as living a normal life, according to me. I am a diabetic, but it requires some lifestyle modification, which may be difficult to adopt for most of the people out there. Now, there are different forms of diabetes, but more or less types 1 and 2 are the common form. Each form is different from one another and require different modifications in lifestyle. Yogi, thank you for that one. This one's from Jenny, who's also been in touch, saying, living with diabetes requires some lifestyle changes, which is difficult to adopt for most of the people out there. Understanding diabetes is the first step towards managing and living with it, I find. For diabetics, making the right lifestyle choices is just as important as taking medications. You can also enjoy life and live with ease by managing this disease, says Jenny. Thank you for all of that. Teaches you how different diet plans and exercises help you in keeping your blood sugar in check, says another of our listeners.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.